Are you looking for a word from God today? If so, Pathway to Victory is glad to present this dynamic message by Dr. Robert Jeffress. Dr. Jeffress is a premier Bible teacher, pastor, and author whose practical applications of God's truth help guide and encourage those who seek to know and follow the Lord Jesus. I know you'll be blessed. And now, the message by Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Well, Happy New Year. It's good to be back with you and to have you here on this first Sunday of the new year. Now, today we're going to do something different. Most every Sunday, we are always taking a passage of Scripture, or we're taking a subject of Scripture, we're explaining it and applying it to strengthen our personal relationships with God. And that is an important part of our church, is teaching and preaching the Word of God for application. But occasionally, there is a need for the pastor not to speak just to the individuals who make up the church, but to speak to the church as a whole. A pastor is not just a teacher and preacher of God's word. The Bible says the pastor is to be the leader, not the dictator, but the leader of a congregation. And that's why every now and then it is important for me as the pastor to cast the vision for where we're going, not individually, but where we're going together as a church. And that's what I'm going to be doing this Sunday morning and next Sunday. You see, this Sunday is not just the first Sunday of any new year. Today is the first Sunday of what is going to be the most momentous, important year in the history of First Baptist Church of Dallas. The most momentous year in the 145-year history of this great congregation. It's hard to believe, but in just 11 weeks, we're going to be moving into our new campus, our new worship center, our new Sunday school space. But it's not just about a move to a geographical location. This year represents, I believe, a move into a whole new level of blessing, an opportunity for service in the life of our church. It is truly a year of new beginnings for the First Baptist Church in Dallas. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. As a background passage, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 58. In just a moment, we're going to stand together to read from God's word, Isaiah chapter 58. Remember, Isaiah wrote a prophecy in the close of the 8th century of B.C., in which he prophesied that Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, because of her disobedience to God, would be taken captive by the Babylonians. And that happened in 586 BC, just as Isaiah prophesied. And it was a time of judgment for Israel, 70 years to be specific. But Isaiah in his prophecy looked beyond that time of judgment to a future time of blessing in Israel's history. He said Israel was finally going to be restored back to the land. They were going to have a new beginning. And in the prophecy we're going to read, Isaiah looks forward to that new beginning, which, by the way, for Israel, including the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem and the rebuilding of the temple that had been destroyed. It's interesting how many times in the Old Testament a great spiritual revival among God's people was always accompanied by a building program. You know, there's no mystery when you think about it about why that's true. When people are revived in their spirits, when they recommit themselves to God, it is only natural that they would start to make God's agenda their agenda. That instead of being self-focused, they would be God-focused. That their desire would be to glorify God to the greatest extent possible. And that's why when these Israelites returned from Babylon, they wanted to build a magnificent new temple that gave glory to the God they served. It only makes sense that when people become committed to God, that they're willing to let go of their material possessions and invest in God's work, just as you all have done in such a magnificent way over these last few years especially. And so that's what Isaiah 58 is all about. It's about the new beginning that Israel would experience. Now, having found the passage, let's stand in honor of God's word. Read together Isaiah 58, beginning with verse 9, concluding with verse 12. The words are on the screen if you need them. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, and if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness, and your gloom will become like midday. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones. And you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. I love that last verse we read, verse 12, because it really describes what God has allowed our congregation at this time in our church's history to be able to do. Isaiah said, those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. We're seeing that happen right now before our very eyes in the construction of this new campus. Today is officially the first Sunday of what we are calling the Year of New Beginnings for First Baptist Church in Dallas. And what I would like to do this morning is to preview what we're going to be doing in the coming year as we enter this new era of blessing and ministry opportunity. But before we look forward, I think it only makes sense to take a moment and look back over 2012, the past year, and what God did in our church this past year. This is no chance for us to pat ourselves on the back. That's not what we're doing at all. We're celebrating what God has done through his grace for this congregation. And just to highlight some of the highlights of the last 12 months in our church, this last year we saw 286 total baptisms, which, by the way, is the most local baptisms we've had in our church in 17 years, God granted us with. This last year we saw 1,095 decisions made for Christ through the ministry of our church, that is, people trusting Christ for the first time or joining our church, recommitting their lives to Christ. Almost every Sunday in 2012, we've averaged somewhere between 300, 400, sometimes up to 600 more in worship than we had in the previous year as well. God is also growing our Sunday school ministry, not only overall, but in some key areas as well. We've seen a 7% increase in our preschool area, a 10% increase in our high school ministry, a 12% increase in our meeting adults, 14% in our single adults, and 18% in our special friends. Part of the mission of our church is to take God's word beyond the four walls of our church to our nation and our world. And one way we've been able to do that is through our Pathway to Victory ministry. Over this last year, we've seen the number of stations carrying our program on radio increase to now 750 stations nationwide, Monday through Friday, and some weekends. Now, you might be interested to know, and not only does this program minister to people in Dallas, and our program continues to be the highest rated national religious program in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. On any given day, here in the Metroplex, we have 50,000 people or more listening to our broadcast here in the Metroplex. But it's also meeting a need nationwide, because over the last 12 months, we've added 5,241 new donors to Pathway to Victory, people who are being blessed and are contributing to the ministry. That doesn't mean we still don't need your help and contributions as well, but it's just good to know that people are feeling blessed and willing to give to this ministry. And then beginning in May, just a few months away, we're going to begin broadcasting into mainland China with our broadcast, reaching a potential audience of 1 billion people. As you know, the fastest growing Christian movement is occurring in China right now. Christians under much persecution are expanding, and we have an opportunity as a church to play a part in that great mission enterprise beginning in May. By the way, I would ask you to be in prayer, because beginning tomorrow on Pathway to Victory Radio and the next Sunday on television, we're going to begin airing this series you heard in the fall, How Can I Know? Answers to Life's Seven Most Important Questions. There has never been a time, I think, in our nation's history when people need clear answers to questions like, how can I know the Bible is true? How can I know Christianity is the right religion? So please be in prayer that God would use these broadcasts to strengthen Christians and to be a witness to unbelievers who listen as well. And of course, as we look back on what God has done, and it is through your generosity that I'm happy to report that to date we have collected over $114 million to our For Generations to Come new campus project. And God did it, but he did it through you. And it wouldn't have happened without your generosity. And so I say thank you to everyone who has played an important part of this. You understand, no church in history has ever done this. No church in history has ever given $114 million. No congregation has done that. And it is a testimony to your love for Christ. So thank you for your generosity. And in just a few minutes, you're going to get to see the fruit of your generosity as we see the latest shots inside of our new campus. And now we're ready, after looking back, to look forward to what we are calling the year of new beginnings. Pastor, why do you use that term, the year of new beginnings? Well, over the last 12 months, Walter and our staff have been looking at this great opportunity we have with this new campus. How can we maximize this grand opening of our new campus, and after the new campus, how can we use this great tool God has given us to maximize the ministries of our church? And that's what the Year of New Beginnings is. It's a plan to recreate our ministries to maximize our newly recreated campus. Now, next week, I'm going to begin a new sermon series I'll be talking about in a moment. And I'm going to be talking about the vision for our church. You know, every church needs to have a clear sense of where they're going, a vision. And as a church, we build our vision around the Great Commission. We don't get to come up with our own vision. Our vision has to be Christ's vision. And that vision is to go into all the world and make disciples, Matthew 28. But we've spent a long time as a staff taking that Great Commission and custom fitting it for our church. How does our church uniquely contribute to this Great Commission? And we came up with a phrase that you're going to hear over and over again about the reason First Baptist Dallas exists. And our purpose statement as a church is to transform the world with God's word, one life at a time. That's the reason we exist as a church, to transform the world with God's word, one life at a time. Every one of those words is filled with importance that we'll talk about next week. But you know, it's one thing to have a great vision. That's a pretty grandiose vision, isn't it? Transform the world with God's word. We need to have a strategy to fulfill that vision. And we believe that for our church, part of this is looking at ourselves. Part of this came from the surveys you filled out about 6 or 7 months ago. And we believe that there are four ways that we as First Baptist Dallas can transform the world. Four important strategies, ministry strategies, that all of our activities and ministries are going to be built around, not only in the coming year, but from now on. And those four strategies are worship, equipping, serving, and influencing. Worship, equipping, serving, and influencing. Now again, I'll unpack that more next week. But what I want you to see as we look at the activities for the coming year is how these activities help us fulfill that strategy that in turn fulfills the vision. First of all, let's talk about worship for a moment. At First Baptist Dallas, we believe corporate worship is integral to what we're doing. We believe the church gathered is important. Now, not every church believes that. There are churches that put more emphasis on the church scattered, or the church cut down into small groups. And we believe certainly the church ought to scatter and be a witness for Christ. We think the church needs to have small group fellowship, and that's what our Sunday school is all about. But foundational is the church coming together, the church gathered for corporate worship. Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the assembling together of yourselves. From the very beginning, before there was a tabernacle or a temple, God instructed his people to gather together for worship. Worship is important. And so what are we doing this coming year in reference to worship? Well, first of all, beginning next Sunday, I'm starting this new sermon series, Experiencing Your New Beginning, the journey from the past to God's promised future. And we're going to take the story from Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, the story of the Israelites' exodus from Egypt and their journey into the promised land as a background for the journey that we're taking individually and together as a church over the next year. We too are moving from the past to God's promised future. And over these next 10 weeks, I'm going to talk about how we can experience a new beginning individually, but also together as a church. If there is one theme I'm going to repeat over and over again, and I want you to remember, is this. Our church is not just moving to a new location of worship. We are moving to a new level of commitment to God. That's what all of this is about. It's not just about moving to a new location of worship. The year of new beginnings for our church is moving to a new level of commitment to God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, revivals never begin in a church. Did you know that? Revivals never begin in a church. Revivals begin in the hearts of individuals who make up the church. Now, we've seen a fresh blowing of God's Spirit in our church these last years, and we're grateful for that. How many of you would like to see that spirit of revival not only continue, but be enhanced in the years ahead? I think we all desire that. We all love this church and want that to happen. No revival is going to break out in our church that doesn't break out in our own life to begin with. And that's why over these next 3 months, as I preach and attempt to lead our congregation, starting with me, you know, there's some commitments I need to make and am in the process of making. And there's some commitments we all are going to have to make if we're going to experience a revival in our own relationship with God. And once that occurs, there will be a revival in this congregation. That's what this new series is all about, beginning next Sunday. Another way, of obvious way, that we are emphasizing worship in the coming year is by the opening of our new worship center on Easter Sunday, March 31st. And it's going to be a dynamic, immersive worship environment, the unbelievable audio and visual experience. You're going to catch a glimpse of it in just a few moments. But people might ask, you know, well, why are you spending tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars on a new worship center? Well, why is that important? Last Sunday, when we were coming back from New York, I was reading an article in the New York Times about the new trends in evangelical megachurches. And this article was talking about the fact that evangelical megachurches are not any longer building these great, massive worship centers and beautiful worship centers like we're building right now. Instead, the trend is to buy a warehouse and kind of fix it up a little bit, or buy an office space and use that, or some churches are actually buying up coffee houses and, you know, making the church more intimate and dividing people up among the coffee houses, and that is the trend. And if you read further in the article, although the churches explain what they're doing in spiritual terms, when you read the article, the reason they're doing this is a financial reason. They can't raise the contributions necessary to build these beautiful cathedrals of worship. And so they're conforming their philosophy to fit their financial reality. Now, I don't fault anybody who does that. I think you can do church different ways. And a congregation that feels led to do that, that's certainly fine. But I have a persuasion that we ought to do the very best we can for God when we do something in his name. We shouldn't be minimalistic. We ought to do the very best we can do. If the best we can do is in Africa with a dirt floor and a thatched hut, let's make it the best thatched hut we can in worshiping God. We ought to do the best we can in God's name. But here in America, it seems to me that when somebody walks into a church, they ought to have a special feeling. You know, in ages past, the church's architecture, you look back over the last 500 or 600 years, a church's architecture reflected that church's belief about God. The church reflected, the building itself reflected the attitude the people had toward God. And I still think that's true today. I think when people walk into a church, their thought should not be, how small is our God? Or how mundane and plain is our God? I think when people walk into a place of worship with God's name on it, there ought to be something about that place that inspires them to think, how majestic is our God? How great is our God? And that's why I'm so grateful for what this church has done. Mark and our committee and our staff and our architects, they have designed a new worship center that is going to turn people to think great thoughts about the great God that we serve. And that's why we're building what we're building here, as a way to glorify God. That is central in our plans for the coming year. By the way, it's not just our blended service that is new, moving to a new place of worship, but our day one service that's watching right now in Truett's Chapel, you're getting ready to make a move as well. On Sunday, April 14th, beginning Sunday, April 14th, the day one service is going to move in here to our current sanctuary. And they're going to have some minimal enhancements that are going to be made to our sanctuary to make it more user-friendly for them. But they will be in here with their new day one service, which, by the way, God is growing tremendously, and God's using it to reach people. They will be in here beginning April 14th. Now, that leads to our Sunday morning worship schedule. Now remember, opening Sunday is Sunday, Easter Sunday, March 31st. And from Easter Sunday throughout the month of April, which is our month of celebration, we're going to maintain the same schedule pretty much that we have right now. And that is two worship services, 9:15, and we're going to move the second one to 11 because of all the special activities going on during this month of celebration. Two worship services and two Sunday schools. We will keep that schedule through April 28th. And then starting May the 5th, we are going to move to one blended worship service in our new worship center. And it will be 10:45, somewhere around there. We're still working at it. And Sunday school, there'll be one Sunday school at 9 or 9:15. We're still working on that as well. So one Sunday school at 9 or 9:15, one blended worship service at 10:45 or so, and one day one service that will be here in our sanctuary, our current sanctuary as well. Now, the question is, well, why are we doing that? Why are we going to move to one service to begin with? Well, the reason is very evident. In our new worship center, we are effectively doubling the amount of seats that we have right now in here. When you really talk about, you know, how many good seats that we have in here, you know, that aren't behind a post or in a situation where you have to sit on somebody's lap, how many can we comfortably seat in here? We are effectively doubling that in our new worship center. So overnight, we will be doubling our worship space. Day one, those of you in day one, moving from Truett Chapel in here, you will be quadrupling the space that you have in here as well. Now, I think one of the most discouraging things that would happen is we go into this new worship center and we're in two services and we're all rattling around in there wondering where everybody is. That would be very, very discouraging. I've talked to several pastors who have made this same transition in large churches. They said, Robert, whatever you do, don't make the mistake we made. And that is in starting out in two services. It discourages people. Start in one service, all together. Experience the energy, the excitement of your people being together, and then wait in God's time to make that move to a second service. So that is what we're going to do. I think we'll all enjoy being together. I think our Sunday school will enjoy not getting up and trying to be here for an 8 o'clock Sunday school. I think it's a win-win for everybody all around beginning Sunday, May the 5th. Now, a second strategy beyond worship, the church gathered, is equipping. You know, in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, Paul said that Christ gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastor teachers to the church for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. One of the functions of our church, the reason we exist, is to equip you, the saints, to do the work of service. That word equip is the Greek word katamismon. It means to load up a ship with supplies before it goes out on a long journey. Now, one of the purposes of the church gathered is to give you the spiritual supplies you need for your relationship with God the other 6 days of the week. Remember the Great Commission? Go into all the world and make disciples, not just converts, but disciples, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Our job as a church is to give you the supplies you need to apply God's word to your marriage, to your parenting, to your finances, to give you the skills you need to apply God's word to every part of your life. It also is to equip you to go out and share the gospel with other people. That's how the church is supposed to grow. The question I've been asking myself as pastor is, okay, how are we doing at that? When do we have in our church schedule, with all that we're doing, when do we have to teach people how to have a successful marriage or how to handle their finances? When do we teach them how to pray? When do we teach them how to have a quiet time? When do we teach our teachers how to be more effective teachers? When do we have to do that? Well, somebody said, well, Pastor, just look at the calendar. We already have a time for that. We have Discipleship University. That's what Discipleship University for, 4:30 on Sunday afternoons. 4:30 on Sunday afternoons? I can't think of a more ungodly hour to try to do anything than 4:30 on a Sunday afternoon. I mean, I don't want to be here at Sunday on 4:30 afternoon. I imagine you don't want to be here either. And in fact, you aren't here in any great numbers at 4:30 on Sunday afternoon. And I don't blame you. I wouldn't be here either. I mean, if this ministry of equipping people is really a vital function of the church, and the Bible says it is, then shouldn't we give it prime time? I mean, shouldn't we have the best time possible in our schedule to do that? I don't think a worship service is enough. I don't think that Sunday school gives us enough time to do that. There needs to be a time in the church schedule to do that. And so that is why we are changing our Sunday evening schedule. We are transforming our Sunday evening schedule. Instead of trying to do this at 4:30 to give it a prime time on Sunday night, we're going to transform our Sunday evening service from a worship service-based evening to a discipleship-based evening. Now, I know some people have questions about that. Why are we doing that? Why would we give up a Sunday evening service to do this? Well, there are several reasons. First of all, 80% of our congregation does not return on Sunday evening. On any given Sunday evening, we have 20% of our Sunday morning attendance that has come back. It reminds me of the story about the pastor who canceled Sunday night evening services. The deacons were furious when they found out about it 6 months later. And and that's kind of the same dynamic here that is going on. You know, a few people have asked me, good-hearted people, but a few people have asked me, said, now, Pastor, are we going to get to vote on this as a congregation? I know the deacons have voted on it, but is the church going to get to vote on it? And I've said, well, we've already voted. I said, we already voted. What do you mean? I don't remember a meeting when we voted on this. I said, we voted on it every Sunday night. 80% of our people voted with their feet. They do not want a Sunday evening service. You know, there's an old saying, when the horse is dead, dismount. And I think that's some wise advice here. You know, by the way, people say, well, why is that? Well, maybe if we just had a better preacher, we could have more people on Sunday night. You know, the fact is, and think about this, You know, in the 50s, the 60s, up until about the late 70s, if you came on Sunday morning, but you felt like you needed to hear another message to strengthen your walk with Christ, I mean, you actually physically had to drive to the church. Do you realize up until 1978, there was no Christian radio as we have today? There was no Pathway to Victory or Insight for Living. All of that is a recent phenomenon. I mean, if you wanted another sermon, you had to drive to church, and there was pretty good attendance. But you can look at the charts and see Sunday night beginning to veer off after that, because people have another way to receive the spiritual food they need. We have tens of thousands of people every month who download our messages over the internet. Many of you do that. Many people who listen to Pathway to Victory 5 days a week. They want more spiritual food, but they realize they don't have to drive to the church to get it. Now, don't misunderstand. Technology is no substitute for that Sunday morning experience, the assembling together of yourselves. But technology has become a substitute for additional meetings and the need for messages. So I think that explains some of it. But there's another reason to change this. And here's the dilemma I faced as a pastor. Realizing that only 20% of the Sunday morning congregation is going to be here on Sunday nights, I have to ask myself the question, what subjects or what books of the Bible are so unimportant that I'm willing to preach them to 20% of the people? I mean, think about it. I mean, how many of you think the book of Revelation is important? You know, that's a pretty good book. Well, I preach that on Sunday nights. And 1 Corinthians, you know, that's an important passage. A manual for the church, I preach that for a year on Sunday nights. Most of this Daniel series, I preach on Sunday night to 20% of our congregation. You say, well, okay, well, you ought to move that to Sunday morning. Okay, well, then what do I preach on Sunday night? What is so unimportant that I'm going to only preach it to 20% of our people? That's why I believe it's time to do something different. And by the way, the positive reason, that's what I want to focus on for doing this, the reason to make this change is it allows us to fulfill our purpose as a church, to make disciples. That's what we're to be about. And to give that function in ministry a prime time, I think, says a lot about what a priority in our church is. Now, I will tell you, over the last year, I've talked to the pastors of the three largest Southern Baptist churches in Texas, three largest, all of whom made this change when they moved into their new worship center. They changed their Sunday evening schedule like we're doing here. And guess what? The church didn't disintegrate. Their churches are still the largest Southern Baptist churches in Texas. They're growing in effectiveness. They said it's the best thing we ever did, and our people love it. And I believe that will be true for us as well. Look, I realize not everybody's happy about this change, but give it some time, and I think the results will show that this is going to help us in our important ministry of discipleship. Now, we may say, well, what exactly are we doing on Sunday nights then, if we're not meeting in here? Well, beginning next Sunday night, we're beginning this new Sunday night transformation. The times will be from 5:30 to 7. Now, they will be anchored by a discipleship university program. It'll be 8 weeks in the spring, 10 weeks in the fall. And it's cutting short this spring because of all of the events surrounding our grand opening. But both in the spring and in the fall, we will have a number of classes offered. Now, I hope you will pick up the brochure that Ryland has prepared on Discipleship University. It's out here in the atrium. You can go out there after the service. All kind of class offerings. For example, our own Dr. Charles Ryrie is going to be teaching on what Jesus said about ... various subjects. It'll be a fascinating class. We're doing an Old Testament survey, a New Testament survey. We have a special track for our Sunday school teachers and those who want to go deeper into God's Word, taught by some of our best seminary and college professors. Our young adults will be having a session on God's answers for real problems and real marriages. Duran's going to be teaching a class on music fundamentals for adults. If you want to sharpen your musical skills, you can come to that. There'll be all kind of classes to choose from. And if for some reason, I can't imagine why none of those appeals to you, there'll also be a Bible study in Truett Chapel. Be a hymn, a couple of hymns at the beginning, and a Bible study that will be led by Dr. Matthew McKellar, who's the chairman of the preaching department at Southwestern Seminary. He's going to be doing a book study on the book of Galatians, Freedom in Christ. So, you know, we're not turning out the lights on Sunday night. We're simply changing what we're doing on Sunday nights to make us more effective in our mission as a church. Also under equipping, our Wednesday night enhancements. Starting in the spring, our Bible study is going to move to Truett Chapel. Our meal will be in the St. Paul Cafe. Our students will continue their meetings. Our children's Awana's program, so greatly successful. Women's ministry in Oasis. Now, the third part of our strategy is serving. You know, we believe every Christian ought to use the spiritual gift that God's given him in a place of service. That's one mark of spiritual maturity. Well, over the last few months, through our Serve initiative, we have added 200 new volunteers, mainly in our communications, music and worship, and our children's ministry. The challenge that is before us is we still need 375 more of you to volunteer, especially in our First Impressions ministry. Do you realize, in just a few months, we're going to have thousands of visitors that are going to be coming through this place? Thousands of visitors. It's important that they feel welcome, they know where to go, that they're comfortable here. First impressions are lasting impressions. And so if you're able to help us with that, we would appreciate it. We're going to have a special training opportunity on February 9th. Our fourth strategy to fulfill our vision of transforming the world with God's word is through influence. And again, that's not true of every church. There are many churches that are content to sit in their holy huddle every week, you know, and get fed from the word and then go out and do basically nothing with it. But we believe that the reason we come here to get fed is so that we can go out and change our world. We can change our culture. And we believe God's told us to do that, being salt and light. Next week I'll share with you, we have a number of strategies for doing that. Our missions, our media, you know, a good definition of missions is taking Christ's message outside of the church. Anytime you take God's message outside of the four walls of First Baptist Church Dallas, you're engaged in missions. Whether you're going down to a condominium to have a Bible study, or you're going around the world on a mission project, or you're broadcasting the message in a place where the gospel's not been heard, all of that is mission. And we believe in a missions focus for a church through a variety of ways. Now, this coming year, one way we're going to be trying to impact our culture is through the events surrounding our new campus. We're using that not to tell people about our new building, but about the Christ the new building is designed to worship. But we're going to have a great platform from which to try to influence our city in this coming year. We have a neighborhood blitz that's planned for Saturday, March 23rd. I'm asking 1,000 of you to come join me for breakfast that day, and then we are going to go out, take about 30 minutes, like we did last spring, and we're going to target three key neighborhoods that are close to our church and would be a good audience for our church: Lake Highlands, Lakewood, and the M Street neighborhoods. And we're going to have invitations, beautiful invitations printed, inviting people to come worship with us the next Sunday, Easter Sunday, for our grand opening. We'll do the same thing on Saturday, June 9th, promoting Vacation Bible School. Now, another part of our influence strategy is through our uptown and downtown outreach. Do you realize that in 1985, about 200 people lived in downtown Dallas? 200 people, that was 1985. Today, over 8,000 people live in this area. We've got a tremendous opportunity. Now, we've talked about this for years, and quite frankly, we've had a difficult time breaking into some of those condominiums, apartment buildings, and I mean break in the best sense of the word, you know. Influencing. But our young married director, Barry Ford, has been successful now in organizing a strategy to help us do just that. We now have 31 active volunteers in our uptown and downtown ministry, five team leaders over five teams that have specified different condominiums and apartments. And so that strategy is finally beginning to be played out, and we're already seeing some of the fruit of that. By the way, this Clyde Warren Park, how many of you have been to Clyde Warren Park? It's being a great magnet for downtown. And on December 15th, our day one band did a concert there with a special activity. We found many, many prospects out there. Do you realize how many people in downtown and uptown are going to be able to walk to church? And once we get this fountain going and everything is open, this is going to be a very desirable destination for people to come to church. So we've just successfully now recruited our fifth care team for our downtown area. Now, as I said, much of what we're doing is going to be centered around the new campus and the opening of the new campus. So I want to talk for a moment about what we're going to do to prepare for the new campus and then the events surrounding the opening of the new campus. First of all, Sunday morning, March 3rd, is going to begin what we call 30 days of prayer for our church. We are putting together right now a devotional guide for you to use in your quiet times each of those days, beginning March 3rd, to prepare you individually, to help encourage your own renewal in your relationship with God. And we're going to give that out on Sunday, March 3rd, and call our church to 30 days of prayer. Also, after the 10:50 service that morning, we're going to do a prayer walk around our new campus. We're going to stop at key areas in our new campus on the outside, in front of the preschool area, the music ministry, the worship center, and have a time to pray for these various ministries. And we will do that Sunday morning, March 3rd. Now, Sunday morning, March 24th, it's Palm Sunday, but it's also our last day of worship in our sanctuary here for our blended service, our last time in this worship center that morning. And that morning, we're going to have a special service. I'm calling it our Stones of Remembrance service. Do you remember when Joshua and the Israelites parted the Jordan River? God parted the Jordan River and allowed them to miraculously cross over. And God told the Israelites, now I want you to take some stones, and I want you to build a monument so that in future generations, when people say, well, what do those stones mean? You can tell them of what I did on your behalf. Well, we're going to have a similar type of service that morning. You know, many of us have had significant spiritual experiences right here in this sanctuary. I know I have. I've walked down that aisle, that middle aisle, when I was 5 years old and was baptized in that baptistry when I was 7. Some of the most spiritually significant experiences of my life happened right here in this room. That's true for many of you. Some of you were saved here. Some of you saw your children saved here. You were baptized here. Some of you were married here. Some of you lost a loved one and had their memorial service here. Some of you have heard God speak to you in a special way here. Well, we're going to have a time that morning to celebrate what God has done in our lives. And by the way, if you have a significant story of just something God did for you, we'd love to hear about it. In fact, we've created a little email that's up on the screen. Just one word, mystory@firstdallas.org. If you'll just email us, if you have a significant story to share with us, we would love to hear it. We're going to be sharing it in different ways, but we would love to hear what God did for you in this place. Well, we're going to share some of those stories that morning of March 24th. And then we're going to have a time to recognize those of you who had special experiences here. If you were saved here, we're going to recognize you. If your children were saved here, we're going to recognize you. If you were married here, if you lost a loved one and their service was here, if God spoke to you, there's going to be a time to recognize those of you who have had a special experience here. And then at the end of the service, we're going to come by one, and we're each going to pick up a beautiful stone that has been prepared for that day. It's a stone that has a picture of this sanctuary on it and a date on it. Something that you can take home with you and put on your mantle as a stone of remembrance of what God has done for you in this church. I just can't imagine what that's going to be like that day. What a great day of celebration. Then that evening of March 24th will be our final service here. That evening, Palm Sunday night, our choir will present some beautiful music related to Palm Sunday, and then we will observe the Lord's Supper for the very last time in this sanctuary that night. And when we finish the service, we're going to distribute those candles that we have on Christmas Eve, and we will bring down the lights for the last time in this sanctuary. But the light of our influence as a church isn't going to go out. So we're going to light our candles as the lights go out. And then I'm going to lead a procession, and hopefully you'll follow. And we're going to go out of this place quietly, holding our candles high. And we're going to walk over to the new campus. We're going to gather together around that fountain and that 66-foot cross in the darkness. And at the appointed time, we're going to illuminate that fountain, illuminate that cross. The water is going to start, and it is going to be a God-glorifying moment as we celebrate the week leading up to our new worship center. That's going to be March 24th. Trust me, you don't want to miss that day here. And then the next week, Easter Sunday, is the grand opening. That morning, can you imagine what it's going to be like? We're not going to have Sunday school that day because I know everybody's going to want to be in one of those two worship services that morning, Easter Sunday morning, March 31st. And then the next Sunday, April 7th, is our official dedication service. And we've got hundreds of guests who are flying in from around the country that are going to be here to be a part of that service. Our former pastors are going to be here. And as I was thinking about somebody to preach the dedication message, I couldn't think of anybody better than our friend, Dr. David Jeremiah. Dr. Jeremiah is one of the most gifted Bible preachers and teachers. He loves our church. He told me that when he opened his new sanctuary 20 years ago at Shadow Mountain in San Diego, he invited Dr. Criswell to come and do the dedication service for their new sanctuary. I thought it was only fitting to have Dr. Jeremiah to come and to lead that dedication service. And his guest musician will be with him, Charles Billingsley. And that evening, Charles and our wonderful choir and orchestra will present a great evening of sacred music in our new worship center. And then on Sunday morning, April 14th, this will be a spiritual high point. Jim Cimbala, the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle, is going to come and preach for us that day. You remember that Wednesday night when we kicked off our For Generations to Come event, that we had a spiritual revival here that night as Jim led us in a time of prayer. And I thought it would be a nice bookend to have Jim come back and be a part of this celebration. So he's going to come. In our day one service, those of you in day one, you'll be in our current sanctuary. That's the day you'll make your move. And guest musician Phil Wickham will be the special guest in our day one service. Then Sunday evening, April 14th, that evening, Carol Cimbala, Jim's wife, who's written some of those songs we all love so much and sing, she, the Brooklyn Tabernacle singers, and our choir and orchestra will present wonderful evening of music. Now, you know, one of the things that we're doing is we're building this new Horner Family Center and the Donald Preschool and Children's Suite to continue our outreach to families. So we thought April 21st ought to be Family Day at First Baptist Church. And as we thought about, well, now, who could we get to come and talk about the family? There's nobody better we could come up with than Dr. James Dobson. And he's going to be here to focus on the family and to talk about the family. And it'll be a great day to invite guests with children and preschoolers to come and see what God has provided here. We're also going to have our first parent-child dedications in the new worship center that day. And so now I would imagine you would know by this time if you're pregnant and having a child that will be here before April 21st. And so if you know that, you might want to go ahead and schedule that dedication for that day. You can call our children's ministry and schedule that for our parent-child dedication, the first one on April the 28th. And that evening, we're going to have our first Lord's Supper and baptism in the new worship center. And again, many of you would like to be baptized that evening. Now, before you go to the next slide, let me just say this. We really want as many people in our city to come and visit our new campus, especially during the month of April. So we were thinking as we were planning this, you know, how could we cap this off? Who could we bring in that would really encourage people from all over the city to come and try out our new worship center and see what God's doing in our church? And we couldn't come up with a name any better than the guest we have, and that is Tim Tebow is going to be here on Sunday, April the 28th, and he's going to be here to share his testimony. So we invite you to come and invite a guest to be with you, and I think we're going to have a great day that day as well. Now, life does not end April 28th, okay? We may wish it did, but it's not going to, because, again, this new worship center is not the end. We can't say once we get in, we've arrived, and that's the end. No, it's just the new beginning for our church. We have all kinds of things planned for the summer and the fall. For example, on Sunday night, June 9th, we're having orchestra movie night. Now, this great orchestra, don't you love our orchestra? I mean, I just love this orchestra, man. They do such a great job. They've got some brand new digs that they're going to be inhabiting. We're going to have, you know, we have to split them up on Sunday mornings because we don't have room for them all up here. They're all going to be together now in that orchestra pit, you know, rises up and down. If they hit a bad note, it goes down. But if they come, you know, I've got the little control right there. And no, they don't hit bad notes. They're going to all be together. And that evening, we thought it'd be just a great thing. They're going to come together and do a concert featuring the themes of some of the most beloved movies of all time. And on our huge panoramic screen, the seven screens and so forth, we'll be able to show stills and clips of those movies as they play the theme songs underneath. There's really nothing spiritual about this at all. I just have to go ahead and say, there's absolutely no spiritual value to it. But I think having fun is spiritual. You know, God created us to do more than endure life. He wants us to enjoy things. We're going to enjoy a great evening to that of great music on Sunday night, June the 9th. And then we have a neighborhood blitz for Vacation Bible School, a freedom and worship, freedom worship service with our choir and orchestra, a patriotic service, June 30th. Vacation Bible School is going to a whole new level in our new campus. And then we're going to have a full gospel explosion, an emphasis on Southern gospel. There's a big market for that in our part of the country, people like that. And that weekend, we're going to have the Hoppers, Mark Lowry, the Booth Brothers, and others here. It'll be a great weekend. And then the fall and winter of 2013, we're going to have four great Sundays emphasizing our preschool children, students, and adults. We have a marriage enrichment conference with Dr. Gary Chapman, the author of The Five Love Languages. There are five, right? It's not four. It's five. Okay, five, don't miss that, okay? That's why you need to be at the seminar. The Five Love Languages, he's going to be here to talk about that and preach on Sunday morning, October the 13th. And then our Christmas Spectacular, the Duran and Choir and Orchestra, it will be unlike anything they've ever done before. And by the way, our PD&C committee, they've already planned that this campus, new campus, is going to be elaborately and beautifully decorated for Christmas, for the whole Christmas. The fountain, the trees, everything. Don't you think the most beautiful place, the most beautiful Christmas decorations ought to be in a church? And we are the center point of downtown Dallas now. We're going to do something to magnify the birth of Christ. Our decorations, our music, it's going to be a great year. Now, these are just some of the plans of what is coming up in 2013. But as I said, it's all centered around the opening of our new worship center. And again, I want to thank you for your generosity that has made this possible. I thought now you'd like to see the latest shots of our new campus and what God's doing in our church. Look at the screen for a moment.
On a hot July day in 1868, 11 brave souls formed the First Baptist Church of Dallas, successfully fulfilling the need for Christian influence in a reckless city. In their first meeting together, they commissioned the fledgling church with prayer, pleading for God's sustaining grace in the life of the church, and that its people might stand for truth and righteousness and be a light to a lost world until Jesus would come. On that foundation, generations have been raised in this place. Spiritual giants of the faith who dared to push beyond Hervé and San Jacinto to take the gospel to our country and world. Today, we stand at a threshold with great anticipation as we enter our season of new beginnings. Even now, colorful scenes coat the walls of the Donald Preschool and Children's Suite in the Andy and Joan Horner Family Center. An ocean getaway, a neighborhood block, a worldwide panorama. Corrugated steel on the fourth floor creates a trendy, inviting atmosphere for our students. Theaters and the gym will allow for the preaching of the word and creating memorable moments. Across the street, rock cocoons the fountain pedestal, providing a strong foundation where the cross of the King stands high and lifted up. White water will flow down the base to the basin below. piping runs through the fountain for choreographed musical entertainment. A great tool for attracting thousands in our downtown neighborhood. Inside the worship center, pews stand ready, waiting for those who will grow up here, visit here, and those who will experience the changing power of the gospel in this place. Blue carpet stretches from the balcony to the pulpit, connecting the congregation with those leading worship in an intimate atmosphere. Wood paneling covers the walls behind the choir loft and orchestra pit. Soon, high-definition cameras will be stationed around the room to project on our state-of-the-art screen at the front of the worship center. Hanging over the indoor baptistry, a stained glass cross stands watch, a focal point in our new place of worship. The beautiful color and unique design of this 3D relief depict both the brokenness and beauty of this symbol of our faith. Light pours through as people take a step of obedience and descend into the waters, raised new because of the love of our Savior demonstrated on a cross. Because a faithful few prayed 145 years ago, we stand here today on the brink of completing what no other church in our nation has attempted. Imagine the impact this church will have as we pray for the Lord to use this new facility as a mighty tool. One prayer touched countless lives over three centuries. We build today because they believed. With God's help, we will continue to raise the cross of Christ because we believe that God still has plans for this church to be a voice of truth and righteousness for generations to come.
Thank you again for your incredible generosity that has made this possible. Well, today we talked about what we're going to be doing in the coming year. Next week, as we begin this new series of messages, I'm going to be talking about why we are doing what we're doing. It all begins with vision. Next week, we're going to discover how to find your vision for your life individually and how a church discovers its vision. So I hope you'll be with us as we begin this new series next Sunday morning. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Today I have been speaking to our church members about our future, but I also realize that here today or watching or listening to this program, there are some of you who do not yet know Christ as your Savior. The reason we're doing what we're doing as a church is for one reason, and that is to share Christ's invitation with you. Jesus himself said it best, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life." Today, if you've never trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, if you have that sense of your need for a relationship with your Creator, a relationship that can begin right now, can change your life, a relationship that will extend past the grave into all eternity. Today, we encourage you to make that initial decision to say, "God, I know I've sinned. I know I failed you. I know I deserve your punishment, but I believe what you've said, that you love me so much, you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Today, I'm trusting in Jesus to be my Savior." Whether you're here or in our day one service, if you're ready to trust in Jesus, as soon as we stand, as soon as the music begins, I encourage you to slip out of the pew, wherever you are, to come down the aisle, to meet me or one of the ministers and say, "Today, I'm coming to trust in Christ." Maybe there are others of you here, you're already a Christian, but you're looking for a church home. And as you've seen and heard what our church is about, what we're trying to do, there's something that resonates in your spirit saying, "This is the place I need to be." You may have visited here several times, several months. This may be your first time. But if today you're looking for a church home where you can grow, where you can be equipped to serve Christ, we invite you to come today. You may be a single adult, a couple, an entire family. We don't care what your background is. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're welcomed here at First Baptist Dallas. Or maybe as you begin this new year on the calendar, you're ready to begin a new year in your relationship with Christ. You're ready to say goodbye to some old things in your life, to start over again. God offers you a new beginning if you'll ask Him for it. Father, how we thank You for not only saving us, but for selecting us to be Your messengers in this darkening and decaying world in which we live. Father, thank You for Your 145 years of blessing upon this congregation. Help us to be faithful to do what You've commanded us to do. And now I pray for those to whom You're speaking right now about a decision they need to make for You. I pray You would give them the courage, the power to stand up, coming, responding to Your invitation. For it's in the saving name of Christ we pray. Amen.
On behalf of Dr. Robert Jeffress and everyone at PTV, thank you for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that the biblical truth of this message will continue to be a blessing to you as you apply it to your life. For more bold, biblical, and practical messages by Dr. Robert Jeffress, we invite you to visit the Pathway to Victory website at ptv.org or call our special order line at 214-969-2400. May God bless you richly on your Pathway to Victory.